Hey, hey, Black Girls Laughing is here to stay. What up, guys?
Oh, my God. I knew you were going to say, I was waiting for you to say today. Okay. Hooray.
Hip, hip, hooray. Black Girls Laughing is here today to sing a song. I'm done.
Thank said
total,
goodness.
Total brain fart. Like, it just went like, and...
What rhymes with this?
I can't do basic one-syllable rhymes right now with the A sound. That's a problem. I'm gonna blame that on MS. There's an MS brain fog happening.
That's a lie.
I'm quicker than that. No, but for real, though, that's something I've been... like examining in my MS journey. I've been like journaling about that. Like, I've been having some cognitive issues, or like the biggest issues with MS that no one really talks about or really understands, especially with people that are able-bodied. Like, if you're walking and talking, people don't recognize the things that are happening to you, but you might recognize some of them. Or, you know, if you went to a cognitive specialist, they would let you know. That's the thing I'm, like, searching for right now. It's like, let's figure out all the little things that are wrong with me from this disease so we can reconcile them and feel better about them. But anyways, sorry to go right into some MS drama.
Oh,
how you doing?
I'm okay. I'm feeling a bit melancholy lately. I don't know why.
The world's going to shit?
Yeah.
No reason right there.
And I'm, yeah, it's kind of like all that, and I'm tired, and just really been thinking about a lot of things, too many things, as always. Lately, what's been, like, troubling me, it's like, people who are successful that get to start from a platform of money, and I don't know, I just started unfortunately thinking about like how different my success would look or might be if I started with parents that had money, that gave me money to do things.
And
girl, that is like something I really shouldn't be thinking about, because that's never gonna happen, and I'm already out here like doing things. But really just like looking at the people around me who are successful, who start from that platform, and it's just so frustrating. And like, are they self-aware to realize that yeah, they're successful, but they started elevated higher than the rest of us that don't come from money. And the doors, even just the doors that opens to you from the jump. So I've been thinking about that, and it kind of bums me out. But not saying that I'm not successful, or like haven't even put myself on a trajectory to like be really successful in what I want to do. It's just like, you know, frustrating sometimes to like see people with their own businesses already, and it's like, yeah, I would start a business too if I could look at my dad and be like, can you help me start with $100,000? And then,
oh shit, who's getting $100,000? Like, that is real. Like,
I'm not like, I've been hearing okay. of people that own things in Philadelphia that are starting from these platforms of lots of money, and I'm like, you know what it'd be? How nice it would be to be able to be like, I want to start this thing. Dad. Not even like someone I don't know, but Dad, will you invest in me?
Yeah, because someone that you don't know isn't going to invest in you. Like, I mean, no, that's a lie. But like, someone probably would invest in you. But like, say if you were still trying to do this a couple of weeks, like a couple of years ago, you know, you didn't have that, like, I'm just out of school. Here's a safety net.
Yeah.
Go pursue your dreams. I mean, you went to Philadelphia and you got a job at, like, a full-time job within a couple of months. And we don't put it in account on, like, how much of a disadvantage. It's almost like, I had this mentor when I first moved to Philadelphia. She was my boss, and she always talked about how her kids, her grandkids, and her the kids that she had had a leg up on a lot of the students that they went to college with. And she would talk a lot about that with the people that were in front of us. I was doing social work at the time, and they all, and the people that we were doing social work for were people that had kids. And she was like, you know, there's a chance that your kids are going to go to college, but are they going to be able to pay for it? Are they going to have to work full time or some part of time while they're in school? And so they're losing time that they could be going to their studies. And the same thing's sort of happening to us post college. You know, we have student loan debts, or just our parents aren't paying our bills, so we have to get a full-time job, so we can't pursue our dreams directly, and so we're trying to find the time to do those things in the corners of, you know, in between sleeping and like trying to take care of our bodies and, you know, going to freaking work 40 plus hours a week. Like, you're 10 steps, you quickly become 10 steps behind that person that just got to go start. Even if they didn't even get a bunch of money, maybe they just don't have student loan debt, or they don't or they just know that their parents, if they really truly stumble, will be there. And like, again, we might still have that too. We have to recognize some of the little bit of privileges that we do have. You know, what privileges we have over, you know, someone that's like, really recognize it, just how, you know, we're trying to recognize it. We think about the people that are above, that are ahead of us, do they recognize their privileges? But we also need to recognize the people that are a couple of steps behind us too. Do we recognize the privilege that we have over them? Because there's some people that have it harder than us, for sure. And like, count the blessing, and then also see that there is a problem. Yes, it's not a level playing field. And how can we make it more leveled? And the only solution I have for that is, like, let's win the fucking lottery.
Dude.
I was trying to win that Powerball.
I was just talking about, if I won the Powerball, the first two things I would do would be get an accountant and get a lawyer.
I mean, yes and yes. I've told you what I wanted to do if I've won the Powerball. Everyone gets a secret call, telling them where they need to be in the next couple of days to find out that I won and that they're getting some money. Because I share the wealth. So if I get this wealth, if I got that, what was it, like $600 million? Like, if I got that, everyone at the, even people I don't like, are probably going to get a million.
Can I get a million?
Girl, you know you're in that list.
Mm-hmm. Woo. Yeah, I was like, so lawyer, accountant, I'm taking out my lump sum taxes from the jump.
Oh yeah.
But I'm not gonna pay them. I'm gonna donate a bunch of it to see how much I can write off and then not have to pay.
Hey, we've been learning from these white people.
Start a foundation. Rich men. I'm starting another night foundation.
Ooh, and okay. Another night foundation. A different... Well, yes, your night foundation, because you're... Yeah.
And then...
It took me a second to figure that out.
I'm going to pay off my student loans. And at that same time, I'm going to be like, friends, family, student loans, house payment, car payment.
Oh, yeah. Mamas get homes. Like, yeah. Multiple homes. Like, you need your winter home and your summer home, Mom.
And then I'm buying a home in every neighborhood in Philadelphia. I planned this out. So I'm going to live in one house 1 year. I'm going to rent the other ones out. And then when the lease is up after a year, I'm going to move into another house and rent the other ones out. So I can live in every neighborhood in Philadelphia.
And then you're going to run for mayor? Like,
no.
You just want to live in every... Like, why do you want to live in every neighborhood?
I don't know. Because in West Philly, I'm close to tofu banh mi's. In South Philly, I'm close to Cantina. It'll be a food tour.
Okay. All right.
Or I'll just buy a bunch of houses in West Philly and wait for it to gentrify and then sell them.
I will jump on that, yeah. I mean, that's a way to go. You'd make more money quicker than you think.
Or I'll buy a bunch of houses in West Philly and rent them out and keep the rent at a base level for when people get displaced and they can
come live in my homes. Well, there you go. That's what needs to happen.
And they don't have to worry about their rent getting crazy.
Someone has to do that. We need to get some, like, land shares for people. Sort of like how, you know, in Chinatowns, they've done that. Like, they were successful in doing that in San Francisco Chinatown, of making sure that there was a place for new immigrants to go, Chinese immigrants to go, where they where the rent wasn't too high.
I've also heard of, like, crazy places where, like, 15 people live in one house, and I'm like, no.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's that situation, too. I mean, and that might be, and that might be some of the houses that you would have, that there would be a lot of people living in there, because there's a huge amount of need.
I'll like, just buy a huge amount of houses.
But then your money might be all gone.
Listen, I don't want people living 15 people in one house. I ain't cleaning up after that when they move out.
Oh, you got people. You ain't gonna do that. You're gonna have to clean up regardless when people move out. You could have one person, you're just gonna still have to get their, you know, skin cells out of there. So, like.
Okay. That's such a vulgar way to say it.
Well, I mean, you shed so much skin. How much skin, how much of your skin DNA is all over your damn house, and then someone else has to come in and move in? That's why you have to get someone to clean the shit out of a place before you move into it.
Anyway, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. I went to a support group for multiple sclerosis this week and met three women, and the woman that's hosting it, that's running this MS group, she's a Black woman. And so I was like, yay, women of color with MS in Colorado Springs. And I learned a lot about Colorado Springs and MS, that one in like 550 people in Colorado Springs has MS. Like, it's one of like the highest rates of MS in the country.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
But, like, I don't know. Well, it has something to do with climate, for sure. And it also has a lot to do with people moving into that space. Because so many people are moving from different places, different climates, and that is a big trigger for people with multiple sclerosis, is the act of moving. Like,
I knew it.
Just the, like, the move set it off. I already knew that that was a thing, because I knew about stress being a major thing for triggering it, and stress, moving is like the number two most stressful thing a person does in their life, so.
What's number one? Be born?
I think it's like having a parent die.
Oh.
Is number one. Or a child. I think it's like having someone very close to you pass, I think might be number one.
Tied with being born.
Yeah, I mean, or like having a baby is probably like number three.
Yeah.
Like, we all know about the breakdowns of just from postpartum, it's already a thing. But then also, men go through postpartum too. Like, just the stress of, like, now my identity's completely changed from I'm just a person to I'm a mom.
I have to take care of this human?
Oh, it's me and you that I have to make sure gets fed and doesn't die? damn.
I'm struggling out here with myself.
I gotta make this person better than me. That's my goal with parenting. Is gonna be like, how can this person be better than me? I think that's everyone's goal, right? Yeah.
Good luck.
I don't know. We're gonna have someone on soon talking about like parenting and shit because we don't know about it. And I want to have a baby in the next like 2 to 3 years. So like, let's talk to people about it. So that's a plug for that. Get excited, guys. We're gonna have guests on soon.
Woo.
But yeah, that was great. And now I'm working with these women with the MS group on getting younger people a part of the group. We're really trying to make a group for people who are at the beginning stages of multiple sclerosis. Because a lot of the groups in my vicinity are really much geared to people that are already disabled, that are, you know, their disease has progressed so much to the point where they don't work, they can't work anymore. I mean, these meetings happen at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So it's definitely not geared to people that are still working, that are still very active. And some of the women that are in the group, they're definitely, and it's the tactic that I'm taking in trying to beat MS, is being as active as possible. You know, every day I'm given that I can move is a gift, so I better go use it. And I feel that if you use it, you can't lose it. So let me keep on freaking using it. And it is my body. So we're going to start doing runs together and hiking excursions. And then, of course, you know, social drinking. That's our next thing. We have a $2 Tuesday thing that we're going to go to.
$2 Tuesday.
Drink some beers.
You're speaking my language.
Right? Again, because not everyone can work, so we better make this shit affordable. Because, like, again, we're trying to understand the full spectrum of people with multiple sclerosis. But yeah, it's just been interesting. Again, my life has just been learning that, getting absorbed into that world. And it was so nice to meet these ladies that, like, and, like, hear people talk about their symptoms. And I'm like, shit, that's exactly what I'm going through. It does feel like there's a role, like, the one woman, she was talking about the numbness in her feet, and she was describing it in the exact same way that I describe it, that it feels like you have 10 socks on and like 3 boots. And she was like, and she was like, and I was like, yes, me too, girl. I'm going through the same bullshit. We are friends.
Friendship is the best ship.
It is good. And it's good to meet people that know what's going on. They talk about it at work, and people are just sort of like,
That's, wow. Interesting.
I'm going to just feel sad for you now. And it's like, I don't need you to feel sad for me.
Are you sure? Are you sure?
No, I'm not looking for the sad things. I do appreciate the love and the support. Thank you to people that have written to Black Girls Laughing about what's going on.
Yeah.
Like, that's like so, so, so nice. And yeah. Anyways, how was your week?
Glad it's over. Busy. I'm like kind of flustered. I was gonna do a really quick check it, so I'll talk about it more there. But busy. I've been nothing but busy. Two job long hustle.
As long as it's busy with a purpose. Like, intentionally busy, not just busy to be damn busy.
I still question that anyway when you work for or with other people. Like, my version of intentional is different from other people's versions of intentional. So, I try not to be busy just to be busy, but
sometimes you have to be for other people.
Yeah, and I don't like that.
Oh. Girl. I mean, working in a place with a competing work style is the hardest. It's the hardest struggle that I have going to work every single day. It's like, I like to work in silence. I like to not have distractions. You guys believe that distractions are okay, and that if someone higher than you has a request, you have to do that first.
No. Like,
but I blocked off this morning to write this case study. Can I do that? Can I? You know? Anyways.
Yeah. Just feeling a lot of things right now in regards to work and my professional career and a lot of things. So yeah, that's where I'm at. That's what's going on. I've been thinking about it nonstop, which isn't the greatest, but that's just what my brain does.
Girl, I know it.
Anyway, let's go on to the John, yeah?
Yeah, let's do the John. So, let's start off with fun. So, there is a organization out of Oakland, California called Black Girls Code. They help black girls in the tech industry get the skills that they need to enter the tech industry. Beautiful, noble cause. All about it. We need more black women in tech. We need more girls in general in tech. But, you know, Uber. You know the bullshit that Uber is going through. With sexual harassment and, you know, a CEO that had to step down because of just not being good at his job, not understanding how women can work inside of his understanding of his organization, not protecting predators over victims, you know, the gamut of the crap. So they thought that it'd be great to do a PR move to donate $125,000 to Black Girls Code. Well, the founder, Kimberly Bryant, was like, nah, I don't think so. Y'all can keep that money, and we're going to keep on doing us, because you aren't anything that we're trying to be. Like, yes, you guys are trying to move to Oakland, and there could have been some synergy in helping each other, but no, you guys are trash. So we're going to just give you your money back. There's probably plenty of other better people we could partner with and, you know, take seed funding from, but y'all can keep that. And I just love that. I mean, it's just like principles over cash. Doesn't matter what, and then understanding the intentions behind behind the cash that's given to you. People in power will exploit your cause whenever they can. And you have to recognize and see the poor allies. Oh, this seems like a good ally, but the intention is all wrong. So you say no to protect your cause, to not dilute your mission. Because again, if they took that money and then some more bullshit came from Uber down the road, now they have egg on their face and shit that they have to deal with now. Kimberly Bryant, you did the right move. You go, girl. So that's the first fun, John.
Woo! No money from you, Uber. We don't want it.
No, you can't, you know, throw this story up or, like, put it in a commercial. Like, we can't, you know, those damn Uber commercials that are like, we're all different colored people, and it's like... It's just, like, very much, like, trying to, like, show their diversity. It's, like, such a diversity play in, like, the worst way. And they would just do that. They would have, like, some dumb commercial. Like, we give back to black girls in tech. We're supporting women in tech. Look, we gave money to this group. Black girls who code. Girls who code. Girls that code in the mountains. Girls that code at the B. beach. Like, we got all the girls that code. Brown girls that code. Bengali girls that code. Asian girls that code. All the girls that code. But we still try to touch their boobs when they work with us. Or we pigeonhole them into front-end positions because we believe women can't do full stack coding.
Women.
Only CSS.
Women can't really code.
We don't truly believe that. We don't think that women are smart enough to code. We liked that Google manifesto about diversity. Like,
what? I never even actually read what that was or what happened. I heard about it and I was like, ooh.
Some white guy that works at Google did not like having to go to diversity events and did not like the intentionality towards diversity that Google had in its work and thought it was too much and was getting in the way of the coding. And had a lot of faux science, you know, all the faux science that upholds racism and sexism was just splattered all in this long document that they anonymously shared with everyone in the organization. And this fool thought he was going to still have a job. And he also said that, like, conservative views are now on attack.
Oh, he's one of those.
He's one of those.
Guys.
He's one of those. Yeah, one of those dudes. I don't even know how that even happens to a person, how they get, like. But yeah, that's what happened. He got fired. It stirred up a lot of shit. It's old news now. Like, I don't know what's happening now. But, you know, Google has a lot. They just hired, like, a vice president of diversity, equity, inclusion. And so her first letter to the entire staff, she was, like, working, but hadn't, like, introduced herself to the entire organization yet. But she had to use this moment. She had to use that moment to introduce herself. Like, hey, we don't believe in this bullshit. Hi, guys. I work here, too, now. Like.
By the way, do this again, and swift justice will be on your ass.
Like, yeah, you're gonna get fired. You can't do shit like this. And if you don't believe in what we believe in, you don't work here. And, like, and people can't be mad about that. That's, like, every job has that. Every organization has what they believe in. And, you know, if organizations are people, that's just how it's going to be. Like, you're going to get fired for your beliefs because, you know, that doesn't protect you. You know, freedom of speech does not protect you not getting fired.
Yeah, y'all need to really learn the definition of freedom of speech because a bunch of y'all don't know what that means.
Well, they're conflating freedom of speech with freedom to be terrible.
It ain't the same.
That's not the same.
You're free to say whatever you want, and I'm free to tell you you're an idiot. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
The end.
All right. What we got? What else is going on?
So, cool things. This past Friday, there was a march in Philadelphia, specifically for Black women. There's a lot of ways I could start this. I think now's a good time to remind ourselves, remind you, remind everyone that every movement that has been created has been started by Black women, queer, and non-binary folks. Everything for any hashtag name that you know of, anything on Twitter, anything on the internet, anything in real life has been started by Black women, queers, and non-binary folks. So this past Friday, a girl from Philadelphia, India Fenner, who is a 19-year-old Temple student, organized a march for Black women. She was, it was based on the premise that she's been to a bunch of marches for Black men, which we all have been recently, forever, for the end of time, who have been harassed or killed by the hands of the police. And the response for the one for Sandra Bland was really small. Unfortunately, not surprising. So she decided to organize her own march. She skipped the women's march. She didn't feel that it was for Black women. So she decided to create her own march and gather more than 100 people outside of City Hall in Philadelphia and march for Black women. They chanted things like Black Girls Matter, Black Queens Matter, Black Girls Rock, because they do, they are, we do, we are, they are, we all are beautiful, perfect, wonderful queens that matter. And it's really exciting. Oh, you know, I'm not convinced that any real change will be made in my lifetime, but to see people younger and younger get smarter and smarter every day, smarter than I'll ever be every single day, is really, you know, in the midst of like all this awful just BS that we have to witness and be reminded of every day, just to see something like this from someone younger than me, getting people together, doing direct action, calling out these systems, just being a boss. It's really exciting to see. It's really beautiful to see. Unfortunately, with my two jobs, I was unable to go, which is a real bummer. But I hope when it happens again that I will be there, whether it's I have to take a cut for my hours or what. But this is great and beautiful and awesome, and I'm really glad that it happened.
Yeah, it is so great. And yeah, shout out to our younger women out here making shit happen. I'm so sad I don't get to go to things like this anymore. Yeah. Like, that's all I'm sitting here. I'm just sitting here in my feelings like, shit, I guess I gotta make one of those here.
Yeah, they ain't doing that in Colorado. That's for sure.
No, they're not. No. Not a little bit.
So that was my happy.
Good. So let's go back to some trash. All right. I think we have dragged Stacey Dash more than a few times in the short tenure of this show, because she is the worst. We all loved you back during Clueless. We loved you in a lot of things, and all those rap videos that you were in, being, you know, Chingy? That fly Chingy? Girl. Yeah, Chingy. But Stacey Dash, you've done it again. You've done something just for attention. You've come after our auntie. You don't come after Auntie Maxine. You just don't. She's your elder. She is everything. She's like the Black woman that everyone's in love with right now because she's the only one speaking up. Oh no, let's not forget about Uncle Ted, Teddy Lou, our Asian friend coming after 45 as well. But they're the only two people in Congress that are like actually doing shit. Actually calling racism for what it is. Actually calling 45 the trash that he is. And you decide to tweet. So if you don't know, Auntie Maxine Waters was at Black Girls Rock this year because she's a Black girl that's been rocking. Like, there's just like no.
Yes.
She's been rocking it left and right. So she was honored at Black Girls Rock. Stacey Dash comes in and calls her a buffoon, and what is the exact tweet? She said, "This is how you spin a corrupt media buffoon sucking up her late in life 15 minutes."
I did not even read the tweet.
That's what real Stacey Dash, I mean, she has real in front of her thing, which just calls you, that just lets you know that you, it's like another like side. I feel like that's like, it's the same handle as 45. So it's like, anyways, I don't like her. So Stacey, so she said all of that. Stop it. I'm upset that I'm even giving you airtime, because that's exactly what you wanted. That's all that you wanted. But we just need to stop talking. Like, just stop it. Get out of the sunken place. Come back. Literally, if you got out of the sunken place, I think people would come. We'd all come and, like, hold your hand and be like, you are free. Let's help. We will help you get rehabilitated in your blackness. We would help you. Come on, girl. You can fight this. You can fight this. I know you can.
I ain't helping her.
If she, like, well, you aren't going to help people that come out of the sunken place. You're not going to help your fellow black people that are, like, they're coming out. Like, I'm not saying she's still in. Like, if she said, I was wrong, I was in the sunken place, you wouldn't be, like, okay with not you personally doing it, but like someone else saying, now we're gonna go teach you. You're not gonna be okay with her getting an education after she came out of the sunken place. Help her become a thriving black girl so she can thrive with everyone else.
At Stacey Dash in particular, no.
But anyone that gets out of the sunken, like, you know, you have to know, I have a few black friends that are very much in the sunken place. We aren't friends right now. But if they came around and was like, hey guys, I actually am not going to say the bullshit that white people, that racist white people say about Black Lives Matter. I believe that black lives actually matter now. I'm not an all lives matter person anymore. I'd be like, okay, friend. Okay, you. Let's try to help you learn more. That's just my giving nature. I wanna make sure everyone gets to the promised land. If they figure it out a little bit, I'm not gonna turn my back on their just because of their bullshit of the past. If they are actually trying to rehabilitate themselves.
Rehabilitate. Oh man. Yeah, I don't know about Stacey Dash specifically.
She's made too much money. She's done too many bad things.
That I'm just kind of like, bye. And like, what was it? I was talking about, I left a note about how I tweeted her because people were tweeting about something that we're going to talk about in Anxiety Corner, so I'm not going to bring it up. But they called Trump a Nazi, which he is. It was Keith Olbermann tweeted.
And oh, yeah, Keith is one of my favorite white guys in dragging.
Said go
dragging F, 45.
Go F yourselves. And you racist Nazi. And Stacey Dash responded and she said, and people are upset at me, you can say this and no fake social outrage. So I tweeted her and I said, that's because everything you say is a short-sighted self-hating grab for attention, Stacey. Like, yeah, people don't like you because you don't like you, girl. Try again. Anyway, she's embarrassing. She needs to take a nap.
It's like her and that black guy that was standing behind Trump at the Arizona rally. And this black chick that I was seeing that, like, loves the Confederate flag, and they got like a New York Times article about her loving the Confederate flag. Yes, these people exist. They need to get traded. Traded to wherever they gotta get traded to. Like, they just need to get out of... Just need to stop being the embarrassment of black people.
You're lying.
But did you see that guy? He looked so crazy.
No. You're lying.
You did not learn... The black guy that was standing behind... Like, with Blacks for Trump on... He had a t-shirt that said, "Trump and Republicans are not racist. Go to my crazy person website." And then he had a sign that said, "Blacks for Trump." And he's been at multiple rallies. It's like the one guy that answers their Craigslist ad every time, saying, "We're looking for Negroes to be in the background at this rally." He's the one that's like, "I'm a Negro. You need me? I'm here." He's the one. That one. That crazy guy who also like stabbed someone in the eye, like was a part of a cult, like this crazy guy. Like, crazy.
What?
Yes.
I miss the girl, black girl who loves
the Confederate. I will send you that Confederate right now flag, so you can see.
See, there's some things crazy that chick. I think my body like just ignores for like self-preservation.
These kind of people think that slavery was a choice.
Oh, okay. They'll learn quickly, or maybe not.
So they think that if they say things like that, they're choosing not to be slaves. When
so when they all try to make us slaves again,
no.
What's going to be their other choice? What's the other choice? What do they get to pick? I want to know what they get to pick. I want to pick something else. How do I pick something else?
You don't. Like, there's just no way.
Apparently, you're wrong. And I do, so...
We'll see.
Oh, God. Oh, great. The pictures...
The picture's enough, right?
Pictures speak a billion words. Not even just a thousand. A billion, really. Anyway, can we move on?
As we can totally move on.
Investigative journalist this. Slavery was... Who got in her brain?
America.
How, though?
I mean, I don't know what history book she was reading. I don't know what media she consumes. But there's media out there that I think if you collect it with some crazy things from the internet and some, you know, the apologist history books that we have, that she was definitely probably had in her history books, because I know that I went to a very liberal ass school, so I read Howard Zinn in high school, but most people didn't. So, like, for everyone that was like, "Oh, that this, you know, Civil War was about states' rights." If you got that line, and then you watch Fox News, and then you stumbled into InfoWars, and you went down a YouTube like rabbit hole of racism, and you believe all of those facts, all of those, you know, quote unquote facts to be true, you could end up like one of these people. Or you have family members that, you know, are just like, "Keep your head down and be good black people and you'll be okay." And people that you come from a family that always questions black activism. There's people that are from those families, that are from those places, that have completely different understandings of the world from us.
But to think that to... I don't... My brain can't.
I mean, but at the same time, Bubba, with no teeth, thinks that he is the superior race. Like, how does he believe that? Like, it's the same kind of fucked up, like... You're brainwashed. Your brain is all scrambled up, and you don't understand reality. Like, it's that's the same because thing.
I assume Bubba's lack of melanin has affect the neurons that move in his brain to think that he's better than me. that's what I chalk that up to. I'm like, oh, I think like. The sun, like, poisoned your brain at a young age because you don't have melanin. No,
his mama poisoned his brain.
Well, yeah, that, and the sun. Because, like...
And the sun.
The sun...
You can't handle it.
Just gets right to the brain, and so, like, it fries stuff in there.
Don't say that about vitamin D. It's saving my life.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying a lack of melanin really just messes with you.
Oh, yes. That's why they're trying to kill us. Anyway.
This is crazy. The coonery is...
Is real.
It's nasty.
I mean, it's been reinforced for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Like... Let's be real, for real, for real. Like, not a lot of black people have been down for these movements until it gets really bad. Like,
and suddenly they're like, well, wait, what? This person that said microaggressions at me and to me at the, water cooler voted for Trump, and suddenly they're saying that Nazis, we should try to understand Nazis. Suddenly, I think that Black Lives do matter. Huh. Why are you making that face?
Someone really said that?
No.
I was like, someone at your water cooler said something like we needed to...
I work with one other person.
Okay, I was so confused. I was like, who's saying this terrible stuff? Like, it sounds like you're working at my... Like, no.
No, but, like, I'm sure that's a process that a bunch of people went through of, like, wait, suddenly Joe that has been my buddy pal at work... for the last however long I've been there, is saying that we should try to understand Nazis and that he voted for Donald Trump and we should protect his freedom of speech. And I didn't see it coming because I'm successful and I'm black, so it doesn't matter XYZ. And then suddenly Joe is saying that Black Lives Matter is a terrorist organization. And now that my rights are actually finally being infringed upon by the higher government, I'm scared, finally. And finally care about my fellow black man, or woman, or non-binary folk.
Oh. They got that woke? That they cared about women, too?
I don't know about that.
I was like, damn, they changed a lot.
But, you know.
But... Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I mean, it's almost like, I feel like all of the white people that have been sharing the videos about learning about Nazis, they're doing that. They're saying we should understand them and a lot of those things is trying to understand them. And every time it seems like you're trying to understand too much, that's as soon as I turn it off. Because I don't care about how it started, how your racism started, where your beliefs come from.
No.
Because it comes from the same terrible place that it's always come from. Lies, deceit, and faux science, and the devil at work. Like, I don't, there's no other way. Like.
Yeah, I don't. Anyway.
Stomp out those demons.
Speaking of Nazis. Now is a good time.
My favorite Nazi.
To remind you that Taylor Swift was chosen back in the day, since the beginning of time, as a Nazi icon. As her Aryan beauty really just fuels the fires of the grossest of the gross, the writers of Breitbart, the lovers of racism, and said, you know, used her image for quotes like, "It must be thoroughly understood that the lost land will never be won back by solemn appeals to the god, nor by hopes in any League of Nations, but only by the force of arms." You know, because she's not simply Aryan by a matter of blood, but also Aryan by spirit. You know, but Miley Cyrus and Kim Kardashian can't because they're not Aryan by spirit. Aryan's spirit is what completes the fascists. So, anyway, don't forget that as you listen to her new garbage song. That
song is so bad.
Really, if you're listening to this podcast, I have a hard time believing you're listening to that song. But I get surprised every day by new things in the world. So that's where I'm at.
People at work literally came up to me and asked me about my opinion on that song. And I was like, me?
Why?
You're coming to me about this? I don't like her. I don't know her. I think she's the devil. The actual devil. Don't come asking me about the devil. Don't bring the devil's name to me and ask me to speak on it.
I was really...
Unless you're ready for me to drag her and you're excited by it. Then maybe we can be friends.
I really have just been like, do I look like I listen to Taylor Swift? And again, you know what? Normally I would say, there isn't a look to people that listen to Taylor Swift. But I'm going to retract that because there is a look to people that listen to Taylor Swift. And I don't have that.
You don't. You don't. But what's so freaking crazy about her is that, like, what's the worst about her is, like, yes, the alt-right does put her up in this way, and she does nothing to stop them from doing that. She purposely tries to live in this gray zone, this, like, weird white lady, I'm your ally feminist, but then I'm still trying to think about all of the racist white girls that come from racist backgrounds who buy my records, so I need their money, but then I also want to seem kind of like liberal for like the few liberal white girls that like me too. And I'm like, you can even hear it in the songs that she writes of her just being on the fence, and it's the worst. It's the most offensive thing about her. The fact that this chick hasn't let a picture be taken of her since Trump has been inaugurated. Until she wants to put out her video, she appears, but you haven't had an opinion on all of the terribleness that's happened over the last 8 months. We have no idea who you voted for. Like, you have done so much to just sit in the center, but you're like, you have to say something if there's memes made about you. You have to say something, or you are with it, the same way that 45 has shown his asshole. Like, we there's just no denying what 45 is at this point.
Yeah, like, you don't get, like, silence is violence. I don't know how many times people have to say that. but it is without a doubt, like, being quiet in the face of Nazis is violence.
Like, if your image is inspirational for Nazis, you're doing something wrong. Like, you're doing something wrong.
Yeah, I just... She's awful. We've said it a million times. We'll say it a million and one. A million other people will say it. There's nothing you can say that will change my mind. Taylor Swift is awful. Anyway. I just wanted
to... I wouldn't help... Like, if she turned... Like, figured something out, I would never come for her. I wouldn't help her. No. I wouldn't help her. Like, just gonna make that clear. I wouldn't help her. No one else should help her. It's too rich, too white. Bye, girl.
Okay, that was the John.
John's gone.
The John. The John is done. The John is done and gone. Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Moving on. What you got? Do you got some crunchy stuff for us?
I do. I have a little something. I went on my first hike since everything. And my first healing hike. And we made a mistake. We made a terrible mistake. We had no idea what the trail was that we were going on. So, Jordan picked the hike, and it said it was moderate on all trails. Parts of it were like, you know, they have, just like when, for skiing slopes, you know, it's blue, green, blue, and black diamond lets you know, like, how difficult it's going to be. So it started on, like, some blue circles, green squares, like, simple stuff. And it was nice. We're having a good-ass time. We're like, yeah, we're going to do 4 miles. That's not going to be too bad. Halfway through, like, it was a trail that the trail that we picked was, like, a bunch of different trails connecting to make our route. So, you know, we've gone like one quarter in, and then it switches to a black diamond.
Oh, no.
But I'm still pushing, and things are getting harder, but it's okay. I'm still pushing. Halfway through this, like 2 miles in, I was like, I can't do this anymore, but we couldn't turn around. We had to keep on going. I'm getting more and more tired, and so my symptoms get worse. As I'm getting more tired, my balance becomes an issue, and things got really hard. At one point, I cried. I was like, I don't want to be on this hill anymore. No. I don't want to be on these rocks next to this sand. It was so mentally and physically challenging for me. Like, and it was the mental part that was the worst, because as I got more tired and I felt mentally unable to do it, it became harder physically for me to do it. So it became a really strong test in my ability to push forward, even in a tough situation. And recognizing that even when I personally feel like there's not enough, there might be a little bit more. I was able to do it. Didn't die on that mountain. I felt like I was gonna die at times on that mountain, but I still did it. I got through it, and it got tough, and it gave me a lot of things to think about. How can I get myself mentally strong enough so when I'm in a bad situation, I can handle it better? So I wasn't okay with the fact that I'm like, it was tough, but I wasn't okay with how I was making it harder on myself mentally. And it's now something that I can go and work with my therapist on. It's something that I can write about more in my journal. It's something that I can meditate on. And it's something that I can, one, prepare myself one, make sure I'm never in a situation like that. Like, read all the trail, like, read up on all the trails I might be touching so I don't go on a route that is too difficult for me. But it also gives me a goal that I want to be able to go back on that trail and be able to do it. I can't do it right now. I mean, I was able to do it. I did it. But I want to be able to go back and do it and not cry. And it gave me a new goal. So sometimes, you know, you get in a bad situation. You find yourself not doing the proper research. You get yourself in a situation that isn't equipped for where you are at that time. You will figure out a way to do it. But then how can you go back and do it again and feel more comfortable with it? How do you set that new goal so you can do it with the grace that makes you feel accomplished? Like, did it, but I don't have the same, like, hurrah because I was so defeated towards the end of it. But now I have a new goal. I want to be able to do it and truly do it. High five my partner at the end.
You're gonna do it. You're gonna do it. I'm glad that you survived. And that's really motivating and really important to remember that, like, even if you try to avoid situations like that, like, there is an end, there is a silver lining, and you can come out of the other side. Because sometimes that's hard to remember.
It's so hard to remember. And then also, like, remember that you... It's hard to remember that you accomplished something.
Yeah, especially when it's so tough, because you're like, ugh, that was awful, that was miserable, I didn't do as good as I wanted, or I should be able to do this because XYZ, which is usually my big thing, is like, I should be able to do that. Like, why is this shouldn't be hard for me.
Yeah, that was the thing. That was the thinking that was going through my mind on here. It's like, well, a little while ago, you were able to do this just fine. Like, or the first time you did this, it was hard for different reasons. Why is it hard now? You know, there were very few people on the trail. But, like, a very defeating moment for me was I was having a hard time going down this one rock area. And there's this, like, old dude that's, like, coming up the trail the other way. And he was like, oh, man, you're worse than my wife coming down these things. And I was like, who the hell are you, sir? And then tried to give me direction on where to go, to how to get down this rock formation safely. But I was like, I don't need you here. I didn't ask for your help. I don't know you. Can you? And I just stood there and looked at him and made, like, and let him know that you're not welcome here. Can you please just continue on your way, and then I will walk down this without your gaze?
You creep.
Can you go now? And so he recognized that his ass wasn't wanted, and he walked away. But, you know, like, that was, like, that was a blow. I fell down. That was a blow. Some pregnant chick was running down the hill, and I was like, that was a different blow. Like, damn it. But again, like, okay, how do I deal with those things next time that it doesn't
bother me?
Like, he bothered me. And, like, some random dude shouldn't be able to bother me when I'm out on the mountain. So how can I get my brain to a spot where it sees it, maybe still gives the look, like, can you go now, but doesn't let it mess up the rest of the hike? Because again, I started ruminating on those things, so it's like, and so that becomes, again, new goals, new mental goals, And, like, having these small mental goals for yourself and recognizing those triggers for you are important things to do, and things that you can, again, work with your therapist, work with your friends with, work with your family with, find, work with your partner with, work with yourself on, in whatever way that you work on things, you know. And that might be seeing a therapist, writing in a journal, any of the things, any of the tactics that we've talked about.
Yeah, it's also like
he shouldn't have felt like he could say any bullshit to me like that.
No. And, like, that's an issue of, like, people just think that they can be in other people's space.
No. But I can't control him.
No.
I can only control how I'm going to react to it.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you made it. I'm glad you have another thing to work towards. And it's inspiring for me.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
I love you.
I love you. So I got a quick check-it today, and really, it was actually my exact thing was stop glorifying being busy. So it was interesting that you made that comment earlier, which is why I kind of just glided over it, because I'm like, oh, this is what I was going to talk about anyway. It's so interesting that you brought that up. So I work two jobs in an effort to, you know, make more money, to learn more, which is great and awesome, and I love learning, and I love making more money. But I guess part of why I feel melancholy is, you know, I didn't see myself at 26 working two jobs, still not making the money that I want to be making, but I am doing what fits in my life right now for the trajectory that I saw, one of the many paths that I saw my life going, but having two jobs to do it is not what I saw, and I have been really exhausted, to be frank. I explained to someone, because they're like, oh, but they're both part-time. And I'm like, you know what? Two part-time jobs is kind of like when you go to college and they tell you an 8 a.m. is like waking up for high school at 8 a.m. You think that they're the same, but they're actually completely different. Mm-hmm. Completely different. So granted, I do end my days for the most part around 5 or 6, like a lot of people do that work a regular, like, I guess I'll say desk job. So 5 or 6 is like when most people end the day, but also an understanding that I'm doing essentially a full day's work for one organization, leaving, having to like wipe my brain to put myself in a different position to do a full day's work for another organization. And that's both mentally and physically exhausting. And again, I'm learning a lot. I did knew upon taking this part-time job that I was going to look for another part-time job simply because the money I was going to be bringing in is not exactly what I wanted it to be. For right now, in terms of what I'm looking to do, I'm looking at hopefully investing in a car before the new year so I can go and visit my family more often,
mm-hmm.
and have the freedom and flexibility to drive to the Wissahickon for a weekend to go hiking or
mm-hmm.
go somewhere outside of Philadelphia, which now that, you know, I haven't been able to travel as much as I wanted to, and that is a really big part of life for me, is being able to go on a trip, and I really don't feel like I've got to have a summer. I've had a few trips to New York with a friend, which is great. It's more than I've done since we've lived in cities 2 hours apart from each other, but it's still not what I want. I still haven't been able to go to Puerto Rico like I wanted to, or I had to plan really far out for October to visit Brittany, and I really wanted to do that sooner. Granted, I feel like the time of year is, like, going to make it even more spectacular that I'm going, but it's still, it's still not what I wanted, and I'm just busy. And, like, when people ask me how I am, I say busy or tired, and that's really a bummer for me. And I don't know if I'm being ungrateful that that's how I start my response to that, because, again, I am doing work that's important to me and important to the skill sets I want, but, like, my knee-jerk initial reaction to everything is, like, I'm busy. And now I'm getting to the point where, like, I can't be involved in projects because I'm so busy. Or want to volunteer somewhere because I'm so busy. And the time that I'm not working, I don't even use for, like, fun things. Like, I use it to finally, like, sit in my apartment and not talk for almost an entire day. And I think part of it is because, and I talked to my therapist, part of it is my life. Before being unemployed, I glorified being busy. I glorified being busy and doing so much and doing a lot of things. And then when I was unemployed, I was forced to slow down and, like, look at myself and take care of myself and do all these things that I'd been neglecting and had learned to appreciate and even love slowing down. And it was beautiful and it was something I enjoyed. And now I'm, like, fighting to not glorify being busy, but I am busy, and it's not what I want. I don't want to feel this hectic, like, synergy around me, but that's just kind of what life feels like lately. And I mean, I haven't gone running in, I couldn't tell you. Tomorrow, I, like, planned that tomorrow morning is going to be, like, a slow intro back into moving my body, because I haven't done anything in, like, 3 weeks. And I'm really upset about that and trying not to be as upset as I really am. But then also recognizing a lot of me being upset is because I had these goals of not only moving still, but these weight loss goals, which is another conversation that I have to address internally, of, like, ensuring that I start moving again from a place of self-love instead of a place of self-loathing and needing to change. So my brain is also busy with, like, all of these things. And, you know, I might have to start waking up earlier every morning to, like, really address these things and give myself time and space, which is, like, frustrating because I come home, you know, a lot of nights. I'm not even home till, like, 7 or 8. So, like, I'm trying to cook and then, like, wind down and then go to sleep and then wake up for the next day. So it's a lot of things, and maybe it's because 2 jobs are new right now still, so I'm still adjusting, but being busy isn't all it's cracked up to be.
I hate being busy. Because usually being busy is not a choice. It's a circumstance that you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Usually, like, you know, a lot of people, like, I know when I feel the most busy, it's when I have a lot of requests from other people. It's not me creating the busy. That's when I feel like I'm busy. It's like, well, my job wants me to do this, and my family needs me to do this, and all these different things. And then that's what, knowing that so many people need things from me becomes hard for me. I don't know if that's how you take in busyness. But the one big piece of advice that I know I've been trying to live with the most in the past few weeks is scheduling me first, scheduling the things that I need first. You know, you can't do all of these things unless you are taken care of. It's just like the airplane, right? It's like, that's all, like, I always think about that airplane rule. You know, if the plane's going down and you have someone that you need to help, you have to help yourself make sure that your air thing is on your face. It's the same thing with life. You can't, if you're not doing, like, if you're not taking care of you, getting your runs in, taking those moments of solace, how can you do all of the other things? Schedule you first. Get those runs in the calendar. Get, like, schedule those things, because it will make you feel better. Because it does make you feel better. Get you in there first. Yeah. And all that other, because again, all that other shit, like, it's important, but you can't do it unless you're whole. And it's so easy for us. Like, I was the, like, when I started the job here, I put the job first, as I always do. But I always have to remind myself to fight that those needs happen after my needs have been happening. And I think about that every morning right now. Like, what do I want to accomplish this morning? I've been getting up earlier, you know, taking that time in the morning, because that's usually the best. If that's your best time, give it to yourself. You know, like, I've been trying to write in the morning, because, and write for me, not write the sales copy I need to write, but write the stuff that I want to get done. Use the best part of my brain for the things that are going to give me my true happiness.
I know.
It's easier said than done.
get back.
So much I'll easier. So, like, I'm saying it, and, like, I know that you're gonna mess up too. And already, like, we all, and, like, and that's like a future you better work check it that we can maybe do together. Like, you're gonna mess up. You're going, like, any goal that you set, anything, that any self-care routine, you're going to end up prioritizing something else over it. You're going to mess up. But do you start back again tomorrow? That's what all this shit is.
Yeah, I definitely mess up on the regular, which I think is another thing that has really discouraged me, is that I always say I'm going to do these things, and really, I never follow through, ever. And it's not even, like, occasionally I don't follow through. It's like, I really never follow through.
That's the struggle. That's been my struggle, too. Like, I don't follow through. I never follow through.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of, mm-hmm, like, over that.
It sucks. It doesn't feel good.
So. No. Anyway, that was the check it. I'm sure we'll have more on that.
All right. So it's time for Anxiety Corner.
Woo!
Even though we say 45's name throughout the show, this is its only dedicated time for the terribleness that is America in 2017. We're going to give ourselves 2 minutes, only 2 minutes each, to voice our anxiety. And I'm going to go first.
Are you ready? Set. Go.
So on Friday, August 26th, a lot of news. 25th, a lot of news came out Friday, right when Hurricane Harvey was hitting. A terrible sheriff was pardoned. A man that used racial profiling, just the fact that you look kind of Mexican as a reason to arrest folks, to harass people in the state of Arizona. And 45 decided he was convicted for going against the Constitution, for going against federal orders to actually not put people in danger that were under his jurisdiction. This man, Joe Arpaio, Sheriff Joe, had a tent city where he left inmates in 100-degree weather, like literally human rights violations, like the definition, like all of that. And 45 pardoned him. They went against DOJ procedure to pardon this person. But, you know, Arpaio, you don't understand that when you take a pardon, you're admitting guilt. So get ready to pay a lot of money to a lot of people. And 45, for you to do this on the day that Harvey was coming to destroy Texas, Houston, where I'm born, where I am from, where I have family, where people are in, like, we didn't even know what was going to happen to this coastland. And you do this, and you have Gorka be fired, and all these different things. It's just sickening.
Timer. It, like, stopped randomly. It was just like, you're done. You're done.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right, and go.
Speaking of Frump and Harvey and a mess, this man decided to go on Twitter and tweet about how well the government is doing, how experts are calling Harvey a once-in-500-year flood, about a book about how we're in NAFTA, about how he's renegotiating NAFTA, about how he may have to terminate NAFTA, about his border wall. You know, people are tweeting in an effort to get their locations and information out there so people know that them and their 80-year-old grandmother and their family of four are sitting in their house and they can't get out because they live on the second story and water is waist high. And our president is tweeting about books and tweeting about terminating deals with other countries via Twitter. This is what's going on while people are being flooded out of their homes, while the National Guard is being called to get people out of their homes, while people are sitting on their roofs. And all I could think of was, we thought Bush didn't care about black people. We already know this man not only subtly and under the radar doesn't care about black people, he quite literally does not. He hates y'all. He hates us. So, I'm, as always, not surprised, still disappointed by tweets that occurred during the beginning of Harvey.
And you know he really doesn't care about Houston. Houston is like the definition of a town rooted in diversity that recognizes all that immigrants have given to that city. That city thrives off of so many distinct communities that support so many distinct immigrant populations. That...
we're not allowed to talk about this anymore.
But, you know, my thoughts, my prayers, and then hopefully some dollars once I know where I can donate to the to the cause in Houston are with all the people there, because like there are 5 million people live in Houston. There were no evacuation orders given for the city of Houston. Inches upon inches of rain have just, like, this Harvey just stopped on top of Houston and said, all right, this is a good spot for me to just dump like 30 inches of rain right now. Like, it's like weather that we don't even understand. Like, that's not how a storm just don't just like sit on an area. Like, storms move.
Insanity.
Yeah. Clinkety clackety, clinkety clackety. All right, well, that was the anxiety corner. We're done. We're going to move on to fun freaking things.
Fun things. Fun things, fun things.
What we got, girl?
All right. So my roar, it's a roar. I have a roar, is for Miss Teal Dress and Molly the Whopper, as I'm going to call her.
Molly the
That's not either of their real names, but that's what I'm going to call them. So, Miss Teal Dress and Molly the Whopper happen to be staying in the same hotel. Miss Teal Dress decided to make comments about the staff there, about her hotel accommodations, about there being water on the floor due to race, because that's how X group people is. Yes, these people were black. I believe they were Kenyan, but that could be wrong. I believe that's what I read. But either way, they were black. And Miss Teal Dress was white. And she started saying racist things. So Molly the Whopper said something. And Miss Teal Dress decided she was still going to keep running her mouth. So Molly the Whopper decided she was going to keep calling her out. And then Molly the Whopper decided to sit down and say, if this lady's going to come at me, I'm going to take off my shoes because I'm going to be ready to knock her out. So Miss Teal Dress decided that since Molly was sitting down, she's going to pick that moment to then attack. So Miss Teal Dress walks up to Molly the Whopper, screams in her face, and decides she's going to choke her. Well, despite being in a sitting position, Molly the Whopper was having none of that. And she flew up out of that chair and beat the whole white race's life out of this lady. And while in the midst of giving and dishing out this beating, said, if you're gonna say some racist-ish, pow, 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 pow. So what we learned today, kids, is that if you're gonna call yourself an ally, you better be ready to throw hands. And Molly the Whopper threw hands.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out to you, Molly.
Molly's fantastic. I saw that video. And what's so effed up is that Teal Dress then turns around and is like, I'm 3 months pregnant. I'm 3 months pregnant. Like, then why did you put your hands on someone? Because if you're 3 months pregnant, I'd be protecting that new life. Why are you getting popping off in people's faces? If you are this vessel for a new terrible person, like, oh, you're gonna switch and play the victim. It's just like those people, though. That's what they love to do. They love to start it and then pull out their privilege when the popo come and like, I'm pregnant. This is what is going on. They just attacked me. Just, you know, I'm going to forget all the crap that I said. Oh.
I'm gonna forget that I walked up to this lady and literally tried to choke her.
I'm gonna forget the reasons why I deserved this ass beating.
Because I'm a garbage dumpster fire.
Why is this happening to me?
What did I do? Just
a nice white woman in a teal dress.
Her, her, her.
Oh my gosh. Well, yeah. Roar. And also, F those people that are saying that we shouldn't be okay with the violence that she did. No. When someone's racist and someone puts their hand... No, number one, if someone puts your hand, their hands on you, you have the right to retaliate.
110%.
Let's turn the other cheek nonsense. Uh-uh, not if you put your hands on me. The only cheek that's going to be turned is your ass getting beat. All right. Well, I have, I guess it's like a gigglish roar. And it's just something nice and dumb. Because we were, last week we were talking about anime and how we're not really into anime. And I found the first, like, true anime that I actually really like.
Oh, of course.
And it came through a movie that the true fans hated. But I thought it was all right, because I wasn't a true fan.
Oh, no.
So I watched Death Note, because Netflix is my best friend, because I have no friends. So Netflix is my best friend, and I watch a lot of Netflix. So I watched the Death Note movie, and I didn't hate it. I liked the idea of it. I thought William Dafoe was a great demon, and I thought the dude that I like, that I can't think of his name right now, but he's from Atlanta and Get Out.
Wait, is this the movie where they cast a white woman as an Asian character?
No. They cast a white, it's an adaptation of an anime, Death Note. And they cast a white guy to be the main character, even though it was set in Japan, so it would all be Japanese people, right? But they also ruined the story and ruined a lot of the things that were great about Death Note for people. And so I read all the stuff, and people were like, "I hated this. They made him an underdog when actually the guy that gets the Death Note light, he's actually a star student. And that's why getting this power..." So Death Note, is that there's this like demon that drops this book. And if you have this book, you can write someone's name in the book and they'll die. And you can write down everything that you want about how they'll die. It's like a burn book, but with death. You know?
Casual.
And so...
Quite different.
This guy, the guy that gets it, was like, "You know what? I'm going to be a superhero with this. I'm going to like kill all these bad guys. You know, everyone that's done terrible things, I'm just going to write their names in this book and have them die in this way, and people are going to revere me as a god." And it's a very complex anime that really goes into that thinking, and it just tries to do too much, and it added a chick in it, this white girl's in it. And it has, like, it doesn't do the best with it, but it got me interested in Death Note. As who the heck is Death Note? What is Death Note? And the anime Death Note is on Netflix. So I started watching Death Note, and it's freaking good. So thank you, Netflix, for making a bad movie, because you made me actually watch the Japanese anime, and now I'm living for it. And I can't wait for someone else to make a good one later on. Because, like, that one was fine. But you got me to watch the real thing. So thank you, Netflix, for effing up. Because now I get to enjoy true Death Note. And now I can say I like an actual anime, not just a kid show. Blurting all over the place. Yay.
I say I'll check it out. Maybe one day I will. Probably not anytime soon.
They're really short episodes. Like, just, like, check it out. When you're trying to wind down before you go to bed, just, like, throw a Death Note on.
I'm catching up on Steven Universe.
Get ready to cry.
I'm not ready to cry.
No, they're good cries. They're good cries. They're good happy cries. Because it's just good. Like, it gets your emotions so well. Oh, my gosh. Have you seen the one where they go to,
I don't want you to talk about it. I will come to you and talk about it and tell you what I've seen and
this
what I
haven't. This isn't, like, too much of a spoiler, though. It's not going to spoil it.
I'm not listening to you.
Have you seen the musical episode yet? Like, one that's, like, all songs? Okay. All right. You still want to know. All right. I'm done. But once you're caught up, let me know.
I'm slow at catching up.
And can you even fully catch up, though? Is it on? Like, are all the things on somewhere? Like, how are you? What are you watching this on?
I have a Tumblr.
Oh, okay. I forgot about that.
It's quite the resource for things you want to see.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Well, catch up. I want to talk about it. Because, like, the episodes that came out this year were so good.
I'm also trying to catch up on reading Chick, Please, which is the comic that I talked about. So, lots of catching up to do. And on that note, we should be done recording so I can finish catching up on
things. Yeah, I gotta get ready for my Game of Thrones party I'm going to.
I don't watch that.
It's the last episode of the season.
Oh, man.
And I have friends. I'm going to a party.
Woo! That's exciting, but I don't care about Game of Thrones. What? Anyway, you can find us... First of all, you can find us on Philly Mag as one of the top 5 Philly-based podcasts you should listen to, and we happen to be number 1. So, full disclosure on that. You can check us out there. But you can also find us on other places in the internet, like our website, blackgirlslaughing.com, on Twitter, at BLKGirlsLaughing with no G, on Facebook, facebook.com/blackgirlslaughing, and you can email us at blackgirlslaughing@gmail.com, and our personal Instagrams. Mine is BEEKNIGHTLY, B Knightley.
I'm Bree Hines, BRIEHINES, Bree Hines.
Thanks for listening. Share with a friend.
Leave us
subscribe.
A review.
Help
just
us
like
out.
Tweet at us. Just say hey. Maybe we'll say hey back.
Yeah. By maybe.
Definitely will. Yeah.
Definitely will. All right, guys. Thank
you. We love you.
Bye.
Come on.